It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with the life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor for show of the brand new year. And Happy New Year, Daniel.
Happy New Year, Mark.
Hey, great to have you. See you once again in 2018. Now, how many years you've been on? 2-3 years now, I think.
It's going on three.
Three years. Sure. So great stuff, the Sound Mind broadcast. And great show last week. We encourage you to listen to last week's program, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Yes,
you can listen to last week's shows and all of the shows you've done to this point. Because it kind of piggybacks on that show. Last week was how to improve your life. You need to be part of the body of Christ.
Yeah,
you know, that's
about,
real basic.
Yeah, it was about relationship and the importance of relationship.
Being in relationship.
Critical.
This year, obviously, for a new first show of a new year, as the New Year's resolutions, something you want to change. How does change happen in our life?
Yeah, and I've done one or two shows on change before. We have a little bit different way of speaking about it every time we do. And so this is a bit different. And so here we are, new year, and people in the new year, they think of the new year's resolutions and how many times have we had that same resolution or maybe we're tired of the one, that one. So we switched because, we couldn't pull the other one off, something, you know, new year's resolutions. So sometimes we don't stick to them very well. But you only lose when you give up and quit. So you just, you know, stick with it. So maybe this is your year. Maybe this is your breakaway year. New year, new season. And so we're going to talk about kind of the 5-point prescription for change. And this could be any kind of change.
Not just weight loss.
Not just weight loss. This could be anything. And for some of us, we want to change inside. We can also use the same pattern for changing outside, changing habits or changing, behaviors. But some of the some of us want to, we want this year to be a year that we change inside and we change the way we view life and things like that. The same 5-point prescription works for any kind of change. And they are, it's just to list the five off here to begin with. There's, first of all, of course, you have to identify your purpose. Where are you going? Change for the sake of change won't last very long. There's got to be a reason. You say process follows purpose, just like form follows function in building. Process follows purpose in our life. So in order to have a meaningful process, you have to identify your purpose. That'd be number one. Number two would be count the cost. That is, what's it going to cost me not to make this change? And we'll talk about that. And then number three is, well, what am I going to change? If I know that I have to change, what am I going to change? And so then number four is, how do I measure the change? How do I measure my progress? And then number five, of course, is how do I stay on task? How do I remember 1 through 4? So we have...
So first thing, let's identify the purpose.
The purpose is fundamental to change. I see a lot of married couples for counseling and individuals for counseling. Certainly, they want change in their life. They come in, maybe they're depressed. They don't want to be depressed. They've got anxiety. Don't want that. Problems in the marriage. Don't want problems in the marriage. Or some individuals come in for counseling and, you know, how can I maximize my life, or how can I get away from the past, and how can I break certain habits and those kinds of things. The purpose is fundamental. Without the purpose, there probably won't be change. And there, I'm kind of doing this a little bit differently now. I'm breaking down the purpose. There are some aspects of purpose and finding purpose. I was thinking of Paul's, when he's talking about running the race, and he says to lay aside every weight. Of course, why are we laying aside this weight? Well, because we have an objective that we're moving towards. So we've identified a purpose, and then we recognize that in order to achieve that purpose, I've got to get rid of some weight. There are things that are holding me back, barriers. So Paul saw this as the process as a race that needed to be run and won. And how do you see the purpose in the process? How do you visualize it? Laying aside the sin that so easily besets us. What's that process? Well, you know, you could just say no. But of course, that's the problem, because it's not that easy.
Right.
So sometimes I've thought, well, did Paul have an advantage? And, you know, his goal was, you know, he said that I may know you, you know, to know Christ, to know his sufferings, to know. So Paul had this purpose and this goal of knowing Christ. But did he and the disciples have an advantage because they actually saw Christ? They actually saw Christ and knew him in his ministry, in his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. They saw him do all these wonderful things. That was Paul's goal, to know Christ. Can we know Christ? And now I'm kind of talking, I guess, specifically for the people who I see and who are listening out there that want an interchange this year. They want something different inside. Of course, the beginning of that would be knowing Christ. And can we know him in that powerful way without ever having seen him? How do we know Christ? Well, certainly, the guidepost is his word. Mm. We certainly mm-hmm. know him through the word, and that's probably a starting place, wouldn't you think? That's where we get kind of the, you know, Christ is the word in flesh, and then we have the written word, and of course those line up. So I would think that reading the scripture, being familiar, and it's discouraging, I think, sometimes how many believers really don't read the scripture. And I've talked to
people. It's so essential. I mean, I work at a radio station, mm-hmm. and I have to really press in to do that. And when mm-hmm. I do, I'm just so blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a discipline that you need as a Christian throughout your life.
Yeah. Of course,
whether it's through the year of the Bible in a year or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know.
I was going to say there's different ways to read, and there's benefit to reading through the Bible. Everybody should read through the Bible, but reading through the Bible, and then, or topically, looking topically for
personal Bible study, not something that's been pre-chewed for you by some preacher. Right. You need to have your own personal study of the Word of God.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a while to. I've heard so many people say, "Well, I read the Word and it doesn't speak to me," but maybe it's just find a different passage. You know, it's all the Word of God, and you don't have to read from, you know, kiver to kiver, as they say, every time. You know, so you can search a topic, something that you're going through right now, and you want to get a specific word on something that you're going through.
How about a proverb a day? There's 31 proverbs.
There are lots of ways to get the word in, and so that's a start. Another place is in our walk. We get to know Christ in our walk. Of course, these are accumulative, the word and then the walk. And I was going to put prayer here, but a lot of times people think, oh, prayer, you know, this is kind of like getting down on your knees or something, or praying at the meal or praying. No, I'm talking about the walk. When we are walking, in our walk, we're, you know, walk or our
what
life
would Jesus
walk.
Do?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and actually talking to the Lord. I think a lot of people miss this part of prayer where it's actually a conversation with God, and it's like we would talk to anyone.
Mm-hmm. I'm facing this issue, Lord. What should I do?
Yeah, and of course we don't hear an audible voice.
Right.
But if you're quiet, you can get a leading in your heart. And a lot of people refer to that as God spoke to me, but it's really a leading in our heart. So in our walk, and then as we talked, this is kind of like hearkening back to the previous show, in the body of Christ, that's such a primary and fundamental place that we get to know Christ.
Absolutely.
is in his body. Mm-hmm. And we take that literally, not just figuratively, that where people are gathered together, that is the body of Christ. We take communion with one another, that's a symbol of what we're doing is breaking bread and sharing it with one another. Same cup, same bread, same body. We see, we know Christ in his body. And knowing Christ always has fruit, so we know when we're making progress because there's always fruit there. And some of the fruit we think of immediately is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Okay, go down this list and see if there's anything you don't want. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. These are all good things. Mm-hmm. If you have these things, there's not a lot of room for depression and anxiety and worry. Mm. And so these are the fruit of knowing Christ, and we're talking about ways to know Christ. Another thing that's fundamental to the purpose is having vision. Now, we talk about laying aside the weight, knowing Christ, and having vision. These aren't entirely discrete. There's a lot of overlap here. But the Bible says that without a vision, people, there's a number of different ways it translates it, without a vision, people wander aimlessly, now the correct interpretation is probably without a progressive vision. Progressive vision. People walk in circles. People wander aimlessly. People perish. You can think about it those different ways. Mm-hmm. So this is how we feel a lot of times in our life, where we come to the conclusion that something's got to change. I don't feel I have purpose. I feel I walk in circles. My life is aimless. I remember one time when I was in Bible school up in Lacombe, Alberta. Somebody out there probably knows where that is. It's kind of between Red Deer and Edmonds, about 20 miles north of Red Deer. Three hills, you probably recognize that. And I made several trips from the Seattle area to Lacombe in the winter. And I remember driving along on one of these trips, and it was so snowy. The visibility was so difficult that fortunately there was a car ahead of me, and I could see that car's taillights. And that car was following another car and watching their taillights. Mm. Sometimes vision is, you have to have a mentor.
Mm.
Sometimes in vision, you got to be traveling with someone. And there's got to,
you're not going to get into the storm otherwise.
Yeah, go out into the world and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And what is the thing about disciples? Well, these are the people that are watching you. They're watching your taillights, in a sense. And so if you're discipling, if you're a disciple of someone, and we all are in some regard, sometimes it's the pastor, sometimes it's a mentor in the church, sometimes it's a parent, sometimes it's a sibling that's a little older or something, or older in the Lord. And so, we have these mentors or friends, and a lot of times vision, when it gets really obscure and dim like that, we need to be watching other members in the body of Christ, and kind of be wise.
And also, as the person who's leading, it keeps you on the straight and narrow, too, is right. Realizing, hey, there's people watching me.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes Ken in vision walking down a path. It's that the path ahead of us is revealed as we go. Mm. Talk a little bit about that when I come back. I want to hit that point a little bit more. So if people want to get a hold of me,
if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
They can do that at call me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will find a podcast of this broadcast, and people email
several
me
years worth of podcasts.
Yeah, at least two, a little over two now. Yeah,
yeah, and they can email you too there at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Okay, how to change in this new year, this new season, New Year's resolutions, all of that kind of wrapped into one. This week with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Sound Mind in just a few moments. We'll return.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with Daniel this week, and we're kind of trying to walk out of the fog as we left off there, getting a vision, part of how to change in this new year. And you wanted to say more about getting a vision.
Yeah, this is probably this point that we're talking about right here all has to do with purpose, establishing our purpose first. And, of course, a big part of purpose is to have vision. Where there's not a vision, people wander aimlessly. So we're thinking of a vision as something out there that I see that's guiding my purpose, that's making my process. And I have a purpose driven process in my life. And so a big part of that was vision. And so I was just commenting before we went to the break that a lot of times vision is, when we think of vision, we're talking about the visibility, whether we're, driving or walking, sometimes the visibility seems obscured. And certainly in life, when we're pursuing something, there are many times when what it is we're pursuing becomes obscured for some reason. And I think it's just good to remember that just like walking in the fog or driving in the fog, a lot of times there's a, as they say, the visibility is down to 500 feet or 1,000 feet or, something. And what that means is you see a certain amount ahead of you. And that's the way it is in life, and for a reason. Remember back when the children of Israel were being fed manna from heaven, and God said, instructed them, only take what you need for the day. Now, if you take too much, it will spoil. So take what you need for the day. Why did God set it up like that? Because that's the way faith works. God wants us to be dependent upon Him and to learn that our daily needs are supplied. It doesn't do good. We can't sandbag faith. It's from faith to faith. It's from strength to strength. And so it's like the manna, what you have for today. And a lot of times pursuing the vision is God will only show us just a certain distance, kind of like the visibility is mm-hmm. down to. God will just show us that much. And as we move in faith with what He's shown us, more will be shown. And the reason is because He wants us to learn that our faith in Him is our security. We don't get a look way down the road and then make our own plans.
Well, the moniker of just one day at a time, sweet Jesus, mm-hmm. there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to number two, counting the cost of current heading.
Yeah, and so we've got our purpose. So we say, this is the thing I want to change in my life. And so will I stick to it? Will I go ahead? Well, that's going to depend on what I calculate as the cost of not moving on. If I leave things the way they are, what's going to be the outcome? Well, more of the same, worse. So we count the cost of not changing, and that cost can be we take an inventory. We ask, what is, what might have been, what could be, what's my state, my situation now? What might it have been if I had have changed something? What could it be if I do change something? We count the cost in terms of our past. What is this? What is the thing that I want to be change? The weight I want to lay aside, or the change I want to make, what has been the cost in the past of doing it a different way? What's the cost in the future? What's the cost temporally in the past? A lot of times there have been physical cost, relationship costs. And what's been the spiritual cost?
People can have a lot of denial about in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
I mean, people really need to take inventory and really believe, what I've been doing hasn't been working.
Yeah. 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 Because in counting the cost, you really, if you're going to move forward with your change, in counting the cost, you really have to come to the conclusion that I have no alternative but to change.
Mm.
And if you don't reach that conclusion, you're probably not going to stick at it very, very much. So you got to count the cost. If your behavior doesn't cost you enough, you won't change it. So it probably is costing you enough, but sometimes we have to look at the cost.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client one time who had a gambling addiction, and every time he got paid, he blew the check down there. And maybe it's gonna, his wife was leaving him now, and he just couldn't quit. He just couldn't. So I was trying to get him to see, do you see what this is costing not only you, but it's costing your relationship? It's also now costing your children.
Mm.
They're going to grow up now without a father, and it's going to cost them in their future relationships, and the cost goes on and on and on. It's not just money. And so a lot of times, as you're right, Mark, a lot of times we're in denial here, and we don't really get around to seeing what it costs us. That's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is then what do I change? You know, once I've seen the, there's my purpose. Here's, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I have no alternative but to change. What do I change? I need to be more involved, or I need to be more loving, or I need to be more at peace, or I need to be more confident. Those are some inner changes that people might want. There are some other, again, I say this is, applies to any kind of change. I need to be more organized. I need to be more motivated. I need to some specific, I need to run a marathon. It can work that way too. But a lot of times, as I said in the beginning, people want to change inside. I want to be more loving, more at peace. I want to be more confident. So we say that's the thing that I want to change. Now the next one would be, well, how do I measure my change? How do I ensure that I'm moving forward? So sometimes we have to define our expectations first. What will being more loving look like? Will that just be a feeling, or will there actually be a way that I can measure? Am I really more loving? So defining, what are my expectations? Am I just looking for a feeling, or so how will I know? What will it look like to be more loving? What will it look like to be more
well,
confident?
And the Bible uses that the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit, certain fruits of the mm-hmm. Spirit are growing or not growing. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to measure that.
Yeah. And I would think something like, you know, if we were to use the illustration of being more loving, what does that mean? Well, it means more serving. We're talking about agape, probably. Mm. Being more serving, being more involved, being more other-centered.
Mm-hmm.
So we take something that's kind of an abstract like love, and we say, you know, kind of sharpen the pencil and say, what's that actually going to look like? Mm. And how would I go about actually being more loving?
Mm-hmm.
So then once we have that, now we know how to measure it, and then we can kind of lay out a plan of attack. What am I going to do to achieve that being more loving? You know, how am I going to know that I'm actually making progress? So if we were to use the illustration of being more loving, we said, well, I'm talking about agape, so that means I'm going to be more other-centered. Well, there are so many ways to do that, so many places to volunteer, or if you're not volunteering somewhere and you're in a family, how can you be more loving and more serving to just the people in your immediate family?
Mm-hmm.
And be honest, so...
people probably had an opportunity to practice this coming through the holidays, because family situations, that uncle that you always get in a fight with...
Yeah.
Maybe this time, this next year, you're not going to be defensive. You're not going to answer back in kind.
Yeah.
I always heard this idea of minister in the opposite spirit. Mm-hmm. If somebody is coming at you, guns blazing, they want to argue about politics or religion or whatever, just don't take it up. Just say, I'm sorry, but, you know.
And the Bible's so clear on, you know, these truths go back in the Bible, you know, soft answer turns away wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much in the word like that. And then, of course, our last one is how do we stay on track? So we've got this plan all laid out and everything. And now...
So you really believe in a personal mission statement. Is that what you mean here?
A mission statement, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've done things like make a bookmarker with a mission statement. So if you read in the evening, then or if you're reading through the Bible... If you're reading in the evening, sometime during the day, and you see that small bookmarker with a mission statement on it, then every day you're reminded of these four things that we've talked about. You know, the purpose, the cost, what do I have to change, and how do I measure my change? And you know, if you're looking at this every day, you have a much better chance of continuing than mm-hmm. if you just left it up to your memory as we get older.
Well, so for instance, what would maybe, you know, looking at these things, what would a mission statement sound like or look like then?
Yeah, a mission statement would be and you could put it, you know, you can put it in sign language or whatever. It would need to represent for you, when you read your mission statement, it would need to represent for you your purpose, the cost, what you're actually going to change, and how you're going to measure it. And there would be lots of ways to say this. For some people, they might want to say 1, 2, 3, 4, and list them out. But all it really needs, the mission statement just needs to be something that brings to mind for you this whole body of thought. So, for example, I had a client one time who had a stutter problem. I think I've talked about this on the radio before because it's so poignant. He had a stutter problem, and it was kind of a circular thing. He didn't have confidence because of the stutter. He was like in college. He would have to get up and do in-class presentations. Because of the stutter, he didn't have confidence. Because of the lack of confidence, the stutter got worse. And so he started carrying Q-tips, quit taking it personally. And so the Q-tip just represented to him a whole body of thought that we'd talked about. So all the mission statement has to do is that. Could be a bookmarker, can be something you tape on your steering wheel.
Could be a mission statement just for that year, too.
Can be.
Just for this, for 2018, my mission statement is whatever.
And I would say change the mission statement as often as you need to, because it can't. You don't want it to become just something that you see and don't see.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, some great stuff. First show of the brand new year. As you're looking at your year and you maybe need some extra help, Daniel is a life coach and counselor. Might be great to have a few sessions with him as you start the new year. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. You can email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. These podcasts are at that website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And, of course, the office is in Kirkland and Edmonds, and be glad to help.
Okay. Well, once again, always great content, and continuing into the new year with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.